Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we are lucky enough to have Doug Hagman with us. And Doug and I are going to be talking about, among other things, the weaponization of the bad guys against us. And the bad guys are the people that now work for the government. It's interesting. I used to look at the government as my ally with some corruption. Now they're my enemy with full corruption. Interesting how that works, isn't it? We live in sad times in America right now, unless you're a diehard Bolshevik communist. So Doug and I are going to be processing that. But before we do, I got to take care of a little bit of business, a couple things here. We have some great sponsors. I just did a TV interview with Daisy Luther from the Organic Prepper over on the commonsenseshow.tv, which, by the way, you should sign up for. It's dirt cheap, and we cover things there that can't be censored, and we have expert guests, and we're keeping people one step ahead of the burning bridge with in-depth documentaries. That's commonsenseshow.tv. And one of the things Daisy and I talked about was how food's going to be squeezed. We'll be in Biden breadline, so to speak. And we talked about how this will all lead into CBDCs out of desperation. And ladies and gentlemen, don't let that happen to you. A Biden breadline could be a death warrant. So I want you to go out and get as much storable food as you can afford from My Patriot Supply. They're number one in the world. They have integrity, honesty. They haven't raised their prices. They got specials galore. And they give you 25-year shelf life of the food, 2,000 calories per day, because remember, you're eating to survive, so you're not worried about losing weight, you're eating to survive. And also the food tastes just fine, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, lots of diversity. So go to foodwithdave.com. Don't put it off, foodwithdave.com. Additionally, we're going to have the CBDC at some point. They'll collapse the economy, and that's the plan. They'll bring it in under crisis. And what we have to worry about is, are we going to get locked into a system that if you say the wrong thing, it'll be like Trudeau and the truckers in Canada? They'll just snatch your resources because you're under their digital control. Well, not if you have precious metals. And Noble Gold can help you with all of these conversions, retirement conversion. And by the way, the Dodd-Frank law of 2010 says that the government has allowed the banks by law to steal your deposits, because technically they now own them when you put it in the bank. And if you don't believe me, look up the Dodd-Frank law. Having said that, let Noble Gold show you how you can save your nest egg and preserve your bank accounts. You're going to have to get outside the system. I'm a customer of Noble Gold, so I give you this warning that's required by the federal government. All investments are inherently risky, and past performance cannot be construed with expected future performance. Now, having said that, there's a reason why I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 4.5, going on 5 years, and I've been advertising for a total of 6. So I have complete faith and confidence they can get you outside the system, help you preserve your nest egg. I would urge you to make that call today. So go to a website where I'm going to send you a free document that tells you everything that Noble Gold can do. You just fill out your email address, send it to you. They're not going to bug you. You have to call them at the number that's there. So go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and let us get you outside the system. Those are our two primary on-air sponsors. We have some embedded ads, of course, as you know. And folks, I'm telling you, food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And except for the guns and the ammo, we sell all this stuff at the Common Sense Show because we know what's coming. Do you? Doug Hagman, my friend, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate you being here. I'm getting a little reverberation back through your mic. I don't know if you have to turn something down. There, it's gone. Okay, we're good. Hey, Doug, welcome, my friend. I'm glad you could join us. And I'm looking forward to this very disturbing discussion. We all have heard about the agents of the IRS that are being armed. I mean, what, if you fail your audit, they're going to shoot you on the spot? I can't even imagine why they need to be armed. There hasn't been violence associated with tax duties. So, but they're not the only ones who are armed against the American people. So, Doug, what the hell is going on?
Well, first of all, Dave, thanks for having me, number one. Number two,
pleasure.
I just want to tell listeners, of yours. You were on my program yesterday, which was May 5th. Folks, you've got to listen to and watch that. What a fantastic interview. I'm not tooting my horn, but Dave's horn, because, man, he came with the receipts. And I've got to tell you, I'm already getting emails from people saying, just an incredibly informative interview. So thank you. But yes.
Glad to do it.
Yeah. I so appreciate this. Now, so here's my issue, or here's where I'm at. I was looking at the entire scope, the landscape of things. I'm thinking, okay, here we are. Banks are going under, you know, a number of, like, six banks are kind of sucking all of these other small banks up. We're looking at this. Everyone's talking about the digital currency, the programmable currency. Yeah. How in the world are they going to enforce something like this? All right. So that combined with I write for Wisconsin Christian News, fantastic newspaper that the same website, WisconsinChristianNews.com. Anyway, so I started doing some research for my new column coming out. It hasn't been published yet. It will be. And here's what I found. Folks, listen to this and think about this. As of right now, where you sit, there are now more federal agents with the power to arrest U.S. citizens and the authority to carry weapons than all of the members of the U.S. Marine Corps combined. Okay, and these are actually 103 federal agencies operating outside of the Defense Department. So this is pointing inward at us. They've spent since 2006. Nearly $40 billion, to be precise, $38.7 billion on guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment. Now, that is 103 federal agencies beyond the scope of the Defense Department. Now, 76 of those agencies have no direct relationship with law enforcement whatsoever. They operate independent of the Department of Justice or the DHS. Okay, so, for example, Health and Human Services, to name one, U.S. Department of Agriculture, to name another, the SSA, the Social Security Administration, and the IRS. And the question I had was, why? Because I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, well, there's something inherently wrong with this if we have that much firepower aimed inward at American citizens. Now, So I took a step back and I really considered this, and I'm looking at the unelected globalists. They know that to create their vision of a totalitarian utopia, the U.S., which is a speed bump in the road to this globalist agenda, it's got to be broken down and remade. And we're seeing that with our culture. You spoke about that. You write about this. You know, our culture is under assault. Everything is under assault right now. And if you disagree with those in power, you get a visit, a knock on the door. You're familiar with that. I'm familiar with that. And it's not a good thing. Now, because of the foresight of our founding fathers, the U.S. is different than other countries. We have a constitution that's timeless. It delineates our rights, which were granted by God Almighty. But it gives us somewhat of a cushion allows us to be a well-armed populace, at least for now. Okay, so as I got through this, and thank you for having the patience to listen to me. So as I started digging down, I started looking at what a totalitarian globalist one world, new world order reset, whatever you want to call it, what's that going to look like, or what would that be? What are the building blocks of that? Because I want to know. And totalitarianism, I found, which exerts total control and compliance over a nation's populace to the state, it uses seven specific building blocks. It uses fear, force, complete surveillance, okay? It institutes this uniparty rule, which you spoke of fantastic, in a fantastic fashion yesterday on the Hagman Report. There's a glorified leadership component, a building block. There's a collective mobilization against citizens considered to be enemies of the state. They use widespread terror. We've seen this from, well, forever, including 9/11 and, of course, 1995, Murrah Building, and so on. They use state-controlled and heavily censored communication media. You're familiar with that. So am I. Attempts to change society, our values, our morals. We're seeing that happen today. And a controlled economy. Those are the building blocks of totalitarianism. That's what's needed to build this New World Order global governance. Okay, so I ask, how many of those characteristics I mentioned have we witnessed over the last three decades, the last 3 years for that matter? Quite a few. Now, to the point, I think there are very few federal bureaucracies that strike fear in the hearts and minds of citizens, as the IRS. They possess this supra-constitutional power and that we've given them, we've allowed them to have, and the ability to bankrupt and even throw people in prison. They can destroy your business. They can slow walk or deny tax-exempt applications, much like the Lois Lerner Barack Obama era. Okay, but here's what I found, and this alarmed me. And I talked to my wife about this. I said, did you know this? And she said, no, I didn't know this. And maybe your audience, because they're a cut above, I believe, will know this. But the majority of people don't. But under Biden and this uniparty Congress, $80 billion in new funding was provided to the IRS alone. Now, the IRS is, again, one of 103 non-law enforcement agencies. But $80 billion was provided under the $739 billion Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed last August. You know, the one where the 18 Republicans signed on, I believe it was. But essentially, it created this massive spending spree by the IRS, or by the U.S. Now, that part of that $80 billion to the IRS, the money is earmarked to hire, yet you heard this number, 87,000 agents. Well, I'll be precise, 86,852 new agents over the next 10 years in all 50 states. But it's even more expeditious than that, ambitious than that. They're looking to hire agents over the next, well, right now, in all 50 states, and not just any kind of agent, but agents, special criminal style agents who must be willing, and I'm quoting from the job description, who must be willing to carry a firearm. They must be prepared to protect themselves or others from physical attacks at any time. Boy, that sounds just so good. But they must be willing to use force up to and including the use of deadly force. Now, this isn't a job requirement for the new IRS special agents that was, again, funded by the Inflation Reduction Act last August. In 2020 and 2021, and not coincidentally since the start of the pandemic, the IRS purchased some $10 million, spent $10 million on firearms, ammunition, and military-type gear. Now, think about that. $10 million in 2 years. Why is that? Because before the pandemic, so to speak, the IRS had a stockpile of just 4,500 guns and 5 million rounds of ammunition. And we had 2,159 special agents to use those weapons and those firearms. Now, I'm getting this information. If you want to know the source, you can look this up. And I verified this through alternative a number of different sources, but openthebooks.com, they've got a lot of information there. So my research, aside from being independent, they've got this as well. Okay, so I just want to mention that. I don't want to. I want people to say, "Hey, you're using other people's information." No, there are numerous sources here. Okay, now that oversight group opened the books, found that the figures include now think about this: 621 pump action and semi-automatic shotguns. 539 long barrel rifles. Yeah, this gets worse. 539 long barrel rifles. 15 submachine guns. Okay, stuff that we're not allowed to have, right? Submachine guns, if you have an FFL, fine, but not too many people have that. And here's another fact that I think will blow people's minds. If you compare the IRS to law enforcement, the IRS would rank as one of the top 50 largest police departments across the U.S. out of 12,261 police departments. So in all 50 states, there's 12,261 police departments. Yeah, the IRS would be among the top 50 if it were a police department in terms of personnel and weaponry. Now, that's scary with respect to police departments as well. Then last month, there was testimony done, and I saw this and I had to watch this twice. Danny Warfel is the commissioner of the IRS, and he testified at a House Ways and Means Committee hearing in April. The IRS is now implemented, because of the funding, they are now implementing their long-awaited strategic operating plan. And it will obligate $8.64 billion of the new funding during the 2023 and 2024 fiscal years. And that 7,239 of the new hires during those years will be the enforcement staff. Now, remember I said we had 2,100. You're talking now 7,239 new hires for enforcement. So not only are they buying the weaponry and the munitions and the military type of equipment, now they're hiring 7,239 enforcement officers using the money voted on by this bill, voted by both parties, and they're arming these people up. Okay, so in addition, Breitbart, and I'll close with this. Breitbart, on May 4th, Wednesday, I guess, or Thursday, in citing Open the Books, these two sources combined reported that the purchases made since the start of this pandemic, this COVID pandemic, the shutdowns. Listen to this. In 2 years, well, a little over 2 years, the IRS purchased $2.3 million on duty ammunition, $1.2 million on ballistic shields, plus this mysterious $1.3 million on various other other gear for criminal investigative agents. Okay, now what does that even mean? You'd have to drill down to get that. I don't know. $474,000 on Smith & Wesson rifles. $467,000 on tactical lighting. $463,000 on tactical shotguns. Another $350,000 on tactical gear bags, ballistic helmets, body armor vests, into the quarter of $1 million mark for both. And the agency also purchased some 3,000 units of optics compatible tactical holsters for weapons with optical sights, weapon sighting systems. So, they're arming up like the military, but it's more than the IRS. As I close here, it's more than the IRS. I mentioned the 103 federal agencies. They're all doing this to some extent or another. Again, it's especially alarming to consider that most of the expenditures I mentioned for equipment and personnel have taken place most recently, like within the last couple of years. And by orders of magnitude more goes far beyond the period, we'll say, from 2005, 2006 to 2020. They've just they put the pedal to the metal. What is going on? So my conclusion here as I research this is we are going to see a forced compliance of whatever event that you found, whatever thing that they are, or things they are pushing us toward. This is the manner in which they will use this force against American citizens. You notice they're not going after the border crossers. But by the way, fantastic information on the border, folks, if you haven't heard it, again, Dave Hodges from yesterday. But the fact of the matter is they are opening the doors, and the people that are coming in, it's a welcome mat for them. However, the people that are here legally, U.S. citizens, who are saying stop this or stop the perversion of our children, leave our kids alone, leave our bodies alone, all of this, those weapons I spoke of, the agencies I spoke of, are going to be rising up against all of us. And that concludes my opening statement.
Well, I'll tell you, you're setting off a lot of alarm bells for me, Doug. I'm taking notes as you were speaking here, and I made about 7 or 8 points. But I'll just refer to one right now. This is a domestic version of the Kigali Principles, which Obama illegally entered into American policy. It's a treaty with the UN, not passed by 2/3 of the vote of the Senate, which is required. But, Biden's done the same thing with the World Health Organization for the next pandemic. We won't be in control of our own country. The World Health Organization will, in another illegal treaty. But to the point of the Kigali Principles, Doug, basically speaking, if the people rise up or there's a declaration of pandemic, insurrection, or any other type of civil dispute, civil disobedience, the president can order in the UN assistance of 28 signatory nations could come on our soil to restore order, quote unquote. It also could be used for a Holocaust purge. Let's not mix words here. But this is, to me, what you're describing is a domestic version of this. There's no reason for IRS agents to be armed or Social Security agents to be armed. There's absolutely zero reason at all, unless in the midst of a citizen uprising, that they need the numbers to assist in the put down of what is going on.
What is going on?
Exactly, and you know I should probably do this off air, but I'll speak out of the school.
No, we don't censor. We don't censor.
I think people. I think people like this anyway. I was honored to be part of a conference call. Frank Gaffney, and. Attorney Reggie Littlejohn and some other people. The forces that are being, how can I put this? I'm not trying to be careful with my words. I'm trying to be articulate so people can understand me. The pushback against the WHO Treaty, the amendments, we are fighting back. And when I say we, again, I'm honored to be included in attempting to get people like yourself, and I'm going to be talking to you off air about this. But folks, we need to fight back against this. We need to hold our reps and or people who represent us accountable. They work for us. We don't work for them. We're not there. Well, I was going to use the B word, but you get the idea. We must at all costs prevent all of this from happening, prevent us from losing our sovereignty. Because if what you just said happens, there will be carnage like you've never seen before, blood on the streets, and you know what? It's going to be blood from both sides. Patriots as well as the invaders. And I'll tell you something, it's not going to be a business as usual. It'll never be. In fact, right now, and I think most people, Dave, you feel this, nothing is back to normal. It never will be unless we make it so. And it's up to us. There's no one coming to our rescue. There is no one, whether it be president or anyone at the higher federal government level, they at this point have decided that they are working against the American people, and we have to act accordingly, in my view. Again, these are my observations, but I think you're right, Dave. I think the threats from things like the World Health Organization, the WHO, they're real threats. The lack of sovereignty, the fact that the Biden crime family, which, man, that's something else. I mean, that's beyond anything people can comprehend, how one man's family sold out the United States for personal enrichment. It blows one's mind. And we have the proof. But when you have a compromised DOJ, where do you take it? Who do you take this to? It's like in my county. Look, I'm an investigator, and if I amass proof of a criminal action, I'm able to take it to my district attorney and say, look, this is what's going on. Here's the evidence. And they, of course, will create warrants and pursuant to the laws and the Constitution of the United States. But in this case, who do we take this to? No one is coming to our rescue. It's up to us. And I think you would agree with that.
Yeah. You're opening up a can of worms. Paul Preston.
I like doing that.
It's a big can. Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio, and he's the president of the New California Movement, which is really an advanced movement to create a second state within a state in California. And they have 50 of the 58 counties supporting them. And what they're doing is Paul has invoked something called the affidavit process. And they get 100 citizens to sign an affidavit, goes to the local sheriff, and they go, the XYZ county official is guilty of election fraud. Here are the allegations. You must investigate or you'll be held liable as an accomplice. And so this is forcing a lot of resignations throughout California. Well, the good news is my corrupt state, which is just as bad or worse than California, that process is coming here. And I've been asked to be a part of this, and I'm not sure what my role will be at this time. But that process is unfolding. We're supposed to have a conference call coming up, and we're going to do the same thing. To me, Doug, this is about the only peaceful avenue that we have left. And what I mean by that is ordinarily I would say it's pitchforks in the street. People are going to rise up. And I hope we don't. And I'll tell you why. I was on a broadcast with John Moore's show with Jeff Nyquist. And Jeff is really the expert on military and China and their designs on America. And Jeff said quite bluntly on John's show that if we go into any kind of major civil insurrection or civil war, the Chinese will wait until we're a little weakened, and that's when they'll unleash their attack. And as we speak, the biggest nationality crossing our southern border now in advance of Title 42 are the Chinese, males of fighting age. And this comes directly out of DHS sources. So that's what I'm concerned about. But I think assisting these invaders, these terrorists, will be armed federal agents. And I think this is where this group possibly fits in.
You know, I think about you because you were one of the first, I believe, to really point out the infiltration of these enemies of the United States coming through the border and inserting themselves in key points of infrastructure. And my mind goes back to what the 1984-85 time period, Red Dawn, that original Red Dawn movie where that downed pilot was explaining to the Wolverines what happened and how it happened. And he said, yeah, you know, coming through the southern border, enemies coming through the southern border unchecked, and then getting positions in critical infrastructure points of and taking those down as part of the takeover of the United States. So you're exactly right. I if people aren't seeing this, and you know, you've got the Catholic charities and other NGOs assisting in their own demise. Why? For money. For at that level, by the way, I would say it's not ideologically driven. It's more monetary gain. However, I think that there is this ideological factor where you've got Marxist, Leninist, Maoist, the entire array of communists or ists, if you will, that are embedded within our society and specifically in places of key infrastructure that will take us down from within. Because, you know, look, they want to kill us. And they want to temporarily disable us while they're doing it. And I think that's exactly how they're doing it. So what in, I don't know how many days, when Title 42 is laid to rest, you're going to see triple, quadruple numbers coming through the border. And also, people talk, oh, you can't say it's replacement. You know, it's this white replacement. It's that and more. I mean, that is being too kind to what is taking place. They want to do away with, if you are a Christian conservative, if you are a white male, if you adhere to the idea of the biblical family, the husband, wife, the children, the home ownership, suburbia, life in suburbia, anything Norman Rockwell type thing, they want to erase that. And you know, this is the thing. I was doing some research too in advance of this interview. You know, nothing is what it seems. I was taking some notes here, and I'm thinking to myself that history is not what it was, because people have changed history. You know. Take down a few statues. Go ahead. They're just statues. No, it's our culture. It's our history. But it's not what it was. The future is not what we think. There is so much confusion about where we are right now and where we're heading, at least among the general populace, that it seems like this is exactly where Satan, for example, wants us to be. Just totally confused and just hammered to the point of apathy. Because the people I talk to, they don't know what to do. What can I possibly do? So they do nothing. And I think that, to our peril, that is what was taking place. People are not doing anything. And, you know, these things that we see on the news or even alternative media, these hearings that we see, oh my goodness, you know, so-and-so being dressed down or called out about the injecticide, you know, the fake vaccine, the mRNA, it's not even a therapy, it's mRNA death shots. Are we going to see any perp walks from this? Are we going to see anyone held accountable?
No, not under the existing situation. You know, I detailed on your show how complete the takeover in Arizona is. And yes, it ranges from the governor's office down to county clerk and recorder, several state legislators. And it all stems from a report of 120,000 pages long that was put together by a law firm that does RICO investigations for the government. So it wasn't, but it's being characterized, of course, as a fly-by-night right-wing conspiracy nutcase group to cover it up. But, Doug, they have complete control of the process. I won't go into the details again, but it's this way across the country. There is no chance that if the left, or I should say the deep state, wants to steal an election, they can do it. There's no chance of having a free and fair election. There's no chance Donald Trump will ever be president. Now, one prevailing opinion says they can only cheat so much, and if we could get overwhelming numbers, then you might win. Okay, that is, I mean, let's throw a hand grenade in the air and hope it comes down on the right person. I mean, that's kind of the chance you have with this. So this is why I endorse what Paul Preston's doing. Okay. It's a foothold on the beach to remove a few corrupt election officials, a few corrupt officials of all types. And you have to hope that it catches fire and takes on a life of its own. But short of that, we have absolutely no chance to defeat these people because they control all the sources of power.
If I can ask you the question, why can't we as a people, I think back to 1946, the Battle of Athens. I think it was August of 46, where you had our military men coming back from the European theater and Pacific theater to McMinn County, Tennessee, and finding this voting fraud taking place right out in the open. And they did something about it. They went down to the armory, excuse me, and they got weapons, and they demanded and were successful in exposing the fraud, in correcting the fraud in a period of 48 hours. Now, there was some bloodshed. Yes, there was. But my question to you is, what will it take to stop using machines, to stop using mail-in voting, excuse me, to stop all of this and to have one day voting, and that's it, period. And in person, and you have to be a citizen. I mean, and you have to have proof. You spoke yesterday about Liz Harris and about Carrie Lake and, of course, the signature matching and about all of this. I was astounded. And, folks, if you haven't heard Dave, I mean, that was, to me, that was like one of his seminal reports ever. I mean, one of the best reports ever. What's it going to take for us to stop doing what we're doing and to go back to hand counts, witnesses, and one vote per person on election day? What's it going to take?
Yeah, it's a long shot, Doug. But there's some basis on what I'm telling, and I'll start off by a statement of fact. I have three sources. One is extremely close to me, but it's not someone I broadcast with. I just want to make sure we know that. And these three sources are in positions to know what they're talking about. There are people in the military right now, but some of them are in command positions, not the Pentagon. And two are in the Pentagon. Actually, just doing the quick math in my head, I would say I know maybe a dozen people of high rank that are preparing to fight China, and they're not going to listen to Biden. This has other spinoff implications. And what I mean by this, it's not just they're going to do what's best for the nation if we're under attack, but they're preparing to separate from the Biden administration, whether it's in the war, pre-war. There's a conscious effort to separate. And I don't know how much collusion there is between this group. I suspect not very much, but I also know that Biden's people know about this. But here's the silver lining, Doug, and it's a long shot, that these people use their military force to rise up, and eventually the rest of the military in mass at the rank and file level, maybe up to the company and division commanders, they join in and say, no more, no more. This country has been invaded, and we are invoking our version of martial law to take this country back. Now, that being said, that would basically trigger the Kigali principles I just mentioned. We'd be fighting foreign troops on our soil. And by the way, that's been rehearsed at Camp Grayling. I published the video of such a kinetic military game that was played at Camp Grayling back during Jade Helm. So that would trigger that action from the UN. And also that, you would have an invasion from China. China may come in under UN authority. But China's MO is to invade the U.S. when the U.S. is sufficiently weakened, either through economic collapse, insurrection, or both. And so we would have to have a military that would be able to resist domestic forces of subjugation, And they would also have to be able to fight off the Chinese and the Russians. That's a tall order.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now, having said what you said, wow. Can we do – is it possible – well, all right. It would be up to us, meaning the average person out here that are that's armed – to repel an invading force. Is that right? I mean, would that is that kind
yes.
of where you're going with
yeah,
this?
Yeah, you're very astute in saying that, because you remember after Sandy Hook hit the news, China came out, and I questioned this in writing. I said, China said, Congress, hurry up and take America's guns away from them. They were using the Sandy Hook situation as the excuse. And I said, the only reason China would say such a thing is they don't want to face an armed populace. So you're absolutely right in what you're saying.
I would stipulate that the only reason we have not been overtaken, and I didn't say invaded, because I think we already have been invaded, but overtaken, is because of that Second Amendment armed. You know, people have the weapons and the ammunition, and it would be a bloodbath. People, I mean, it would be horrible, but that's the only, to me, that's the only reason. And I find that very interesting. And I did what you, the intellectual product that you provided back then, very, very prescient to today's events. So, okay.
There's more.
Go, please.
Well, if you look at it, all fits together. If you back up, people back up and take a 30,000 foot view of this. Why do they want to have such extreme censorship? Even today, you can't go on most social media and say the vaccine sucked, it did a lot of damage, even though coming out of the government are studies that say that. And you can't speak against transgenderism, which is clearly a mental illness, always historically has been in the mental health profession. They'll cancel you. If you pray in public, they're going after Christians. In other words, they're assaulting the First Amendment because there's about 65% of this country that's choosing to be ignorant. And I mean, it's a choice. If I just have my car and my home and enough to eat and I can go to the movies once in a while, I'm happy. Just leave me alone. And what they don't want is a modern day Howard Beale times a million. And that was the movie Network in 1975 that won an Academy Award, in which Howard Beale said, well, I'm not going to leave you alone. Get up out of your chair, go to your window, open it up and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And they don't want a bunch of Howard Beales out there citing critical issues that would piss off the 65% that are refusing to become involved. If they became engaged with 393 million estimated guns in America, okay, the military would feel empowered to act. And I really believe the military would feed off civilian energy, and it would also work the other way. And now we'd be a force to be reckoned with. And so then we'd have a fight over control for the nuclear facilities, the ICBMs. Those would be domestically challenged in armed conflict. I'm absolutely certain of it, and that's dangerous. And then, of course, who's going to control the Space Force? Who's going to control the submarine fleet? And now, even though Obama took the launch codes away from submarine commanders, I have been told numerous times there are many workarounds that if you have a good warrant officer on your ship, you can circumvent White House control. And that's the wild card that defends America, because the submarine fleet is fiercely pro-Trump, fiercely pro-American, and would stand up and they would nuke. They'd nuke Moscow. They would nuke Beijing. This is really our ace in the hole, along with the Space Force. And this is the only reason they're not marching in our streets right now, subjugating America Holocaust style, is because they're trying to control, one, freedom of speech, take away your guns, subdue the Space Force as well as the submarine fleet. Those are the obstacles to the takeover of this country.
Okay. And with, wow. Okay. So now let me ask this question of you, and perhaps you've covered this and I missed it. And I think this has a lot to do with what you're saying today. People will recall the FBI raiding Mar-a-Lago, whenever that was. Okay. The FBI went in a couple of days before. Now, this is a weaponized, the Biden or O'Biden, Obama Biden, weaponized Department of Justice. They went into Mar-a-Lago a couple of days prior to the raid. They looked over documents. They came out 2 days later. They raided Mar-a-Lago. Never ever before happened. Now, here's the information I received. I'm going to bounce it off you. Tell me if you've heard this or if you've addressed this. And folks, the same with you. I mean, I did. But here's they were looking for a specific item, and that item is often called the biscuit. The biscuit is a card. It's bigger than a credit card. The commander in chief, different necessarily than the president, but the commander in chief, usually the president, obviously, carries it around his neck. Now, that was supposedly, and I don't know how this would happen. I have a degree of skepticism here. However, the original or the authentic biscuit was removed, was never turned over to the Biden regime. Okay, so.
Are you talking about nuclear launch codes?
I am. Yeah. I am. Did you hear about this? Is there anything to this?
Yes.
Okay. Boy, you sound pretty okay.
Off air, I'm not going to say it on air. Off air, okay. I'll tell you how high the source goes. And this source is unimpeachable and has been for many years. You remember when I broke the Benghazi story, how they had a plan to rescue Stevens, General Hamm, and Admiral McKinnon, but unfortunately they had CIA implants in their executive positions and they got arrested. They were going to get Stevens, save him. He knew he'd been set up by Clinton and Panetta, and he was going to sing like a canary, and that's why they wanted to get him, because this was the time when Obama was firing 300 to 400 command grade officers. No one felt safe. They wanted Obama out. They knew he was a traitor. So Stevens was the avenue to do that. And because he had run drugs, guns, and kids through various operations for the CIA when he was ambassador, the Clintons had to eliminate him because the word was leaking out, and this was an election year. And this is the source I'm referring to that gave me that story. And he jumped up and down and screamed and yelled for me to run the story because I couldn't find a second source. And he goes, "Do you trust me or not?" I published it, and I took a lot of heat for doing it. When I published it, I believe it was October of 2012. And by January, I had people copying my article.
Well, and at the same time, and sadly, for whatever reason, you and I didn't correspond. I had the same information. Benghazi, by the way, just so people know, that was not a consulate. It was not an embassy where Stevens was at. That was the largest CIA headquarters in northern Africa. And that was, of course, being used to funnel weapons and personnel into Jordan, Lebanon, around Syria for use in Syria. And this was the brainchild of Obama, of Panetta, as you said, but specifically of Hillary Clinton. And this kind of, from that, Arab Spring was crafted. Arab Spring, by the way, was not an organic uprising. It was an intelligence operation. So what you just said there, I remember your reporting on that, and for some reason, we failed to connect on that, but you were 100% accurate. And folks, I'm telling you, the sources that Dave's got, listen to what he's saying, okay?
I don't want to toot my horn here. Let me just say this. When you are raised in a family with a high-level military officer who was involved in rewiring the CIC, Combat Information Center, to put the first nukes on the first ships, when he debriefed German scientists for years on advanced theoretical physics, you develop contacts that go to second generation participants.
Yeah,
do you understand obviously. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Extremely well, yes. And folks, you might want to listen to that one more time. Rewind and listen to what he said. You'll understand. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I couldn't talk about this until 2011 when my mom passed away. Because had I revealed what my father told me in 84 and 85 before he died about all that was going on that he knew, and he wanted me to know the world I was living in. But he also said, your mom will lose everything if you bring it up because my pensions bought this stuff. And the government will come in because he signed a security oath 450. He said they'll come in and seize everything from her. I made my first revelation of this on your show, I believe, in 2013.
I recall the revelation. I don't recall the date, but that's right. Okay. Man, I'll tell you what. So all of this that we're seeing today, as I sit here and kind of look at where we're at today, especially with the geopolitical side of things, this goes back to and it hangs with Obama, I suppose, Obama and crew in its in terms of its current nature. Obviously, it started well before then, but they're running the ship at this point. Is that kind of what you're...
Yes. Okay. Obama's the designee. His mother, Ann Dunham, worked in the Ford Foundation, which was at that time the main CIA, shall we say, MK Ultra training facility, and Obama is the product of that.
Right. Right, exactly. Okay. And people really need, I think, people really need to understand that Obama, his presence, Valerie Jarrett, Samantha Power, others around that circle of influence are the ones, they're the faceless faces. Almost doesn't make sense.
Well, Jarrett's the connection to Iran, Doug. The Iranian influence in the Obama administration cannot be over-exaggerated.
The money that went to Iran way back when, the pallets of cash, the same with Iraq, different time, different circumstances. But this all goes back to this Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama, which we know nothing about in terms of his lineage, and of course Michael Obama, and we all know, and if you think I'm kidding, Michael Obama is not who he says he is.
No, he's a cutout. You're exactly right. I'll give you a piece of trivia before we close, and I'm going to have you back sooner rather than later, Doug, because we have unfinished business. But here's the deal. Obama had at Occidental College a Soviet professor, Soviet studies professor. This is pre-politics. Care to guess who his professor was?
Henry Kissinger?
Good guess. That's a really good guess. Zygmunt Brzezinski, the co-founder of the Trilateral Commission.
Brzezinski.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his Soviet instructor. Brzezinski. Yeah. And see, you could write a book and put this in and no one would believe you. But this is substantiated fact. This is absolutely phenomenal. My gosh, we covered a lot of ground today, but I feel like we're at Omaha Beach and we're just getting off the landing craft. Let's hope we don't take the same kind of fire as we advance in.
I was going to say that's a scary thought, but okay. Well, and talk about heroes.
Well, I got to tell you, look at Liz Harris gets into the state capitol and she talks about election fraud, which everyone who has one eye open knows it was rampant in 2020 and worse in 2022, and they kick her out for it. I mean, that's the society that we live in now. And she has a death threat. And that's from her mouth to my ears. And she has proof of the death threat. And these people need to be worried about this because now we've established probable cause if anything happens to either one of us. And by the way, I have enacted some kill switches on information I didn't have time to share on your show. So if people say, Dave, I'm worried about you starting your car, don't be, because more will come out. Hey, Doug, we got about 30 seconds for you to tell people how to follow your great work, and you've been on top of things for decades.
Well, thank you. Hagmann, P.I. That's two N's. H-A-G-M-A-N-N. HagmannPI.com. HagmannPI.com. And from there, you can all the social media sites. I'm on Getter, Getter, Gab, and all the sites except Twitter too, but I don't use it that much. But thank you very much for the time. I really appreciate it. HagmannPI.com. I appreciate you coming on my show, and thanks for having me on yours.
Well, we had to do a reciprocation here because there's so much to tell, and we're not done. So, Doug, I will be in contact with you. I'm traveling some, but I'm going to squeeze it in because this is a priority for me. We're going to get you back on. Really good info. Appreciate you coming on, and continued good work, Doug. Appreciate you.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you.